Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
And now, back to a man who didn't let being named one of the 100 most important radio talk show hosts in America go to his head.
Woo! Woo! Yes! In your face!
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
Welcome back. It's 34 after the hour. Thank you very much for joining me. Thanks for hanging out with me. Thanks for being part of my day. My pleasure to hang out with you. And if you just tuned in, welcome aboard. We're glad you're here. Bert Folsom is our guest, ladies and gentlemen. Dr. Burton Folsom Jr. has been a member of my Brain Trust now for more than 10 years. He is a longtime friend and a great supporter of all the things that you do, small business owners. He's a scholar. He's a historian. He's the historian of the Small Business Advocate Brain Trust, I'll tell you that. And but he also is professor of history at the Hillsdale College in Hillsdale, Michigan. He's the author of The Myth of the Robber Barons and other books, and his brand new book. I mean, literally, just the ink is almost not even dry on this book. I've been telling you about it. He's been telling us about it for a long time. New Deal or Raw Deal, How FDR's Economic Legacy Has Damaged America. Bert Folsom, welcome back to the show.
Well, thank you, Jim. It's good to be back.
It's good to have you here. We are honored to launch your book on this show.
Well, this is the first interview after the book has come out. It just came out.
Yeah, and I mean, I got mine in, and it was a little. The cover was even a little tacky. It was still a little bit wet there when I got it.
You're right. The ink just dry.
Bert, when I grew up in a Democrat house. My mother and father both were Democrats.
Right.
My mother still is. My dad probably is in heaven. and Democrat Union. They don't know what happened to me. They can't figure out. You know, they think maybe I was switched at birth or something. But because I don't always agree with them on things that they'd like for me to agree on. But my point is, I grew up in that household, hearing what a horrible person Hoover was.
Right.
They even have, my mother even made a kind of a food, a gravy that was kind of primitive that they called Hoover gravy. Have you ever heard of that term, Hoover gravy?
No, I have not.
They called it Hoover gravy because it was the kind of gravy that they made in the Depression because it didn't take much ingredients, you know. And so she would make it, and they called it Hoover gravy, very derisively, you know, very in a negative way. But you would have thought that Franklin Roosevelt was the second coming.
Right.
Now, when I went to college, my very first class in college was with a history teacher, a crusty old curmudgeon of a history teacher, who basically didn't feel that way about Franklin Roosevelt. And I thought I had stepped into, you know, some kind of a I'd never heard that kind of language before.
Yeah.
about Franklin Roosevelt. So tell us what you think. Give us a quick tour of what you found about Franklin Roosevelt since you've been studying him.
Well, a lot of people believe that he had a lot of programs that came in, whether it's the AAA, the WPA, the NRA, and so on, and that these programs eventually got us out of the Great Depression. Mm-hmm. And the lesson we learn from that, therefore, is that when we're in an economic crisis of any kind, turn to the federal government. Economic programs will help get us through that crisis.
Now, Bert, I know people. I have known people who were unemployed, who couldn't feed their family, and when those programs came in, WPA and CCC, I guess it was, and some of those.
Right.
I remember listening at the knee of some of those people who lived through that, who literally worked in those public works jobs, and were able to keep their family from starving to death. And it's hard to tell those people that they were wrong.
It is. My father-in-law got his first job in the CCC, and he felt the same way as your parents did. Here is the issue, though, is the broader picture. Yes, those people got jobs, but at what expense? The expense was at the private companies starting the jobs who could have given them jobs. And the reason the private companies couldn't start up and give them jobs was that Hoover and then Roosevelt later raised the tax rates so high that companies simply had no incentive to get into business whatsoever. The top tax rate under Roosevelt was, well, Hoover raised it to 63%. Roosevelt raised it to 79%.
And according to what I read in your book, he attempted to make it 100% above certain levels.
He attempted to make it 100%. He first tried 99.5% tax rate on all income over $100,000, and when that didn't work, he went to 100% on all income over $25,000. Now, what incentive do businesses have to expand and put people to work in that kind of environment?
And, of course, Congress didn't allow him to do that, so he wound up getting... they went with 91% or something, right?
Yeah, right. Congress wouldn't go for the 100, so he had to settle for 90. But the larger point is that what incentives do small businesses have to create jobs or larger businesses have when those kinds of tax rates are in place?
We're going to come back and talk about what could he have done differently in the 30s, Roosevelt, in the 30s. Maybe he wouldn't have needed the CCC if he turned to the marketplace instead of the government. And where are the parallels for the 21st century? Stay with us. We're back at 17 till. I'm Jim Lessingame, the Small Business Advocate, and my websites are smallbusinessadvocate.com and askjim.biz. I hope you check those out. Use them to your advantage. Bert Folsom is our guest, Dr. Bert Folsom, the resident historian of the Small Business Advocate Brain Trust, professor of history at Hillsdale College. That's hillsdale.edu, right, Bert?
That's right, on the website.
What about the website for the book?
For the book is available from amazon.com.
We got to get you a website for the book, Bert.
Well, we can do that. We don't have that, but we do.
You need to do that. I'll help you.
Well, I appreciate that.
No, we need to do that. You need to have one so you can blog on it and everything. I think people would like that.
Well, that would be a good idea, and it is available for $17.82 plus shipping.
What? I didn't even know. From Amazon, it's $17.
I've really appreciated the way Simon & Schuster, the publisher, and then Amazon have done that. The book is
called New Deal or Raw Deal. Yeah. How FDR's economic legacy has damaged America. Folks, if you want to get your eyes opened about what happened in the 30s, you should read this book. It's fascinating. Of course, Bert, you know Bert very well. You know he writes in plain English, where even I can understand it. So Bert, back to this thing about the 30s.
Yes.
In your book, you talk about FDR, Franklin Delano Roosevelt, FDR being, having grown up in wealthy parents.
Yes.
And not understanding anything about economics, anything really about the marketplace, because he didn't have to. There was no want in his life, right?
No, he had allowances provided for him even to the time he was in the presidency. His mother gave him an allowance, and they were large allowances, and therefore he really never knew.
As a president, his mother gave him an allowance?
His mother gave him an allowance, right.
So his background,
his salary.
It would never have occurred to Roosevelt to have said, okay, we got big problems here, 1933, we got big problems in this country. The best way to get this economy going would be to not to veto or to repeal the Smoot-Hawley Tariff Act, which went in what, 32, 33?
It went in actually in 30.
In 30. To repeal that Smoot-Hawley Tariff, which put up a protectionist wall around countries all over the world. It put up a wall around us and a reactive wall around everybody else. And because companies didn't trade, countries didn't trade, you talk about that in your book, and the high taxes, if he had said, okay, if I lower taxes and repeal Smoot-Hawley, I can help businesses improve their lot and hire more people, and we can earn our way out of this depression in the marketplace. It never occurred to him to do that, did it?
That didn't occur to him, and that's exactly what we had done in past depressions, and it's exactly what works. It may not work in 1 year, but over a period of 3 or 4 years, we never had an economic depression that extended longer than that in American history. In 1921, when we had 12% unemployment after World War I, the solution was cut taxes and promote free trade, and pretty soon we were down to 3% unemployment within 3 years. It never occurred to Roosevelt to do, as you said, to cut taxes tremendously, promote free trade by immediately cutting the tariff. Now, he did do a little bit of cutting the Smoot-Hawley tariff, but not nearly enough and not quickly enough.
By the time we were attacked on December 7th, 1941, by the Japanese, and then later, soon after that, went into the war in Europe, by the time that happened, Bert, was the economy coming out of the Great Depression already?
Only artificially. It was still about 10% unemployment, which, if you think about it, is about as high as we've had. Only a couple spots in U.S. history has it ever been that high. But only because of we are increasing the national debt because we were building up the defense industry. So that was money eventually that was going to have to be repaid.
So is it fair to say that that World War II really did more to bring us out of the Depression than anything else?
Well, I think that the departure of Roosevelt from the scene, at least that's the argument of Bob Higgs, who studied this problem in depth. He says that World War II really did not contribute that much to getting us out of the Depression because it was the destruction of property. You don't get out of a depression by artificially paying people to go over and destroy things.
Yeah.
He said that's a temporary – we simply transferred people from being unemployed to being soldiers. What really got us out was when somebody got into the presidency who said, I'm not going to tax you so high that I'm going to let you grow.
Some of the things that Roosevelt – you report in your book that Roosevelt – promoted, he promoted what they called relief. We now call it welfare.
That's right.
He promoted minimum wage, which wasn't his idea, but it was promoted during the Great Depression. He also and he was also the father of Social Security, which many still believe today is a tremendous success. What are your thoughts on those things?
No, it's really not. Really, the first Social Security bill that passed allowed private pensions to be there. People, in other words, to give to private pensions and small business owners or large corporate owners to set up pensions. If they would match the benefits that were promised under Social Security.
Mm-hmm.
But the Senate passed that bill. The House did not. And what happened was when they met in conference committee, Roosevelt was able to get his way and get the provision that ended up being part of Social Security so that we had no private pensions that were allowed to compete. And under the current system of Social Security, the benefits you receive from Social Security are not as great as they would be if they were in private pensions.
For decades, Social Security was a pretty good deal for a lot of people. But as it's gotten long in the tooth, as generations have changed, as the way our society has changed, Social Security is going to turn into what you would call a raw deal, probably.
Yes.
And I want you to comment on that on the other side of these messages. We've got to take a break, folks. That's one of the deals we have around here. We have to sell some stuff. We're going to do that right now and be back in just a couple of minutes. I'm Jim Blassingame. Bert Folsom is our guest. His book is called New Deal or Raw Deal. We're back. It's 7 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and we're visiting with our good friend Bert Folsom, Dr. Burton Folsom, the author of the brand spanking new book, New Deal or Raw Deal. Ladies and gentlemen, you need to check this book out. It will open your eyes. And I'll tell you what, folks, if you will buy this book and read it, I believe that you will see the future, the potential future for our country. And I think you'll start seeing there'll be some things that will be proposed. Burton, I think some things will be proposed over the next three years that you could go back and say, wait a minute, that's almost the same thing as they proposed in the 30s to disastrous results. And so, folks, that's the reason why I'm encouraging you to read the book. And another reason why is because whatever Bert Folsom does is worthy of your time and money. Bert, we're going to have you back.
I appreciate that endorsement. Thank you.
Well, it's heartfelt and sincere, and my audience knows that. Bert, we're going to have you back. There's a lot of stuff to talk about here, and there are going to be a lot of parallels here. But before we go any further, I'd like for you just to give us a quick tour, your idea, kind of an overarching thought about the Roosevelt administration.
Well, we were in the times of Great Depression. We had high unemployment, and the view that Roosevelt and others had was we simply need to have more government programs. programs to get us out of the Depression, whether it's the AAA, the WPA, or the Reconstruction Finance Corporation, which was the bailout group that they had. And they thought, this will help get us out of the Great Depression. Every single one of these programs did not work. Now, they didn't work to varying degrees. Some didn't work just a little bit, and some were total disasters. But they headed the country in the wrong direction, and as programs, they didn't even accomplish what they were supposed to. The bailout program, for example, you might think, well, that would help. It became politicized. The Democrats used it to bail out their fellow Democrats. Roosevelt used it to give a $1 million loan to the editor of a Philadelphia paper so he could help him carry Pennsylvania in 1936 and 1940. Wow. So this is the way the programs work. Then you had people depended upon this aid, and then it was hard for anybody to come in and oppose it because we had built up a dependent society. That kicked into the 50s and later the 60s, and has been a drag on this country for 75 years.
And it set
years.
The table for the Great Society, Johnson's Great Society, didn't it?
Johnson was
a horrible set of philosophies, the Great Society. Horrible.
Roosevelt started really the welfare state, and Johnson continued it in
space. He expanded it. Yeah.
Right.
In which we've sort of gotten rid of it in another Democrat administration with the Republican Congress in Clinton's era
in 1997.
And look at the workers who are now available to the marketplace that we need because of that. Getting rid of welfare was a great boon to this economy.
It gave us balanced budgets for the first time in 30 years.
Yeah. Bert, let's do some parallels with if Obama is elected. One of the things I see is a parallel between his background, his philosophy of how to solve problems, and Roosevelt's philosophy. I think Barack Obama is a good person. I think he's an intellectually honest person. But I think he is not grounded in the marketplace, which Roosevelt wasn't either.
Right.
And I think every nail he sees needs a government hammer to drive it.
I think he believes that also, that there are a lot of victims and that we constantly must be giving programs to help victims, which, of course, creates
and he basically
creates dependence.
And those are his own words, redistribute.
Yes.
I mean, if you listen to his own words, he talks about those things. And that's the reason I think he's intellectually honest. I think he's a good person, because otherwise he wouldn't say those things out of his mouth without realizing that they fly in the face of the marketplace.
They do. They create incentives for people to do things they otherwise wouldn't do. It creates incentives for some people not to work or not work as hard, and it creates incentives for other people to simply receive from others.
If you go to Europe, to many of the European countries, those people have been adopted by the government, and there's very little incentive for entrepreneurship and innovation.
Well, they've even got a minimum hours you can work, hours a week you can work.
That's right.
Can you imagine
and
that?
And those people realize, they're now realizing, Bert, those kinds of laws are not helping them. And they would like to get rid of them, but they can't because they're so entrenched in the psyche of the population.
This is the problem, is that it's easy to get those bills in, and then they have terrible consequences, and it's hard to get rid of them once they're in.
And that's the thing that I fear most from an Obama presidency with a fully Democratic Congress and a filibuster-proof Senate. And I would say the same thing if it were 100% Republican government. We got to have a little balance, folks. We got to have some checks and balances. Hey, Bert, the book is called New Deal or Raw Deal. You're going to be back a lot to talk to us about this in the future.
Well, I hope so. Thank you, Jim.
Thank you. Available wherever books are sold right now, ladies and gentlemen. I got to go for this hour. I'll be back.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.